أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم إنا نسأل إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتزل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والغادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها بما كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما غصرنا عنه فبلغنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Why I was today we were reciting Dua Nutbeh, I noticed from the beginning of the Dua, if you also read it later on again, look at the meanings of it, from the beginning of the Dua, it starts to talk about the fadla'il, talks about the status and the level of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and where he has been taken to the Mi'raj, where he was shown, and that he was given the ilm of ma yakun, from the knowledge of the past and the future. And then it's from there it starts, it goes to, if you see, talks a lot about after the other prophets and then our prophet, and then talks about Imam Ali alayhi salam and all those things that they did to them, and they killed them and their sons, and then talks about and then it talks about again when it starts from, you see from this part it's a lot talking about A'imma alayhi salam and their status. And then when it goes to from where it starts, Ayn al-Hasan and Ayn al-Hussein, again after couple of lines it starts to talk about again the fazail of A'imma, of what they were and who they were. And I was thinking when I was reading it today, I was thinking this must have a message that this dua and ziyarat which have been given by A'imma themselves to us, to read about who they were, what a great level and status they had, they must have a message in it. It's not only and purely a historical issue, because for the people of the future and the people after the time of Imams alayhi wasalam, what is the point of history? It's not anymore a historical issue. We are not so much, there are not so much emphasis that so that you only learn history, that this Imam has been this and that Imam has been that, and what level of these Imams they have. The message it is for us to know who they were and where they were and in what level and how close to Allah they were. We cannot imagine Imams alayhim as-salam, they were not the type of people which for the reasons that we ordinary people we praise ourselves and we want people to know who we are. We do that out of selfishness. We want people to give recognition to us. We do these things when we do a lot of shows and talk about ourselves because we want to feel that empty wujud that we have. But A'imma were not like that. They did not need for them, for only that, for these reasons, people know who they were. Or when it comes, for instance, we receive to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in the day of Qadir, and those verses of Quran which is talking strongly to Prophet that balligh the message of Allah. It is narrated that Prophet, for some time he was kind of afraid to tell people that Ali alayhi salam is his successor, and that being afraid was not that afraid in a sense that in a context of that time, it was not easy. It is like any of us today. I mean, when it comes to the people outside us, not ourselves, it's like any of us today. We get a bit of leadership in a community, even in a small community, and it goes even higher. It comes to bigger communities or become a jama'at leader. It's not easy after some time. Then we come and say, okay, from now on, my son is your leader. It's not something easy. For the Prophet to tell that how he had, number one, his daughter was, who his daughter was, and then who Imam Ali alayhi salam was, and that people all have to listen to their to the progeny of him and to his grandchildren, it was not something easy. That is why we find in some verses Allah speaks quite strongly to Prophet about it, so that he has to tell, and it is that unless he has done this, he has not completed his mission. So this is again, and then there are a lot of places apart from Ghadir that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about his grandchildren and about A'imma. Again here, Prophet is not seeking any interest. He doesn't have any interest for himself. It's not that he wants his children to be recognized or any sort of, it doesn't give him any joy. The fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about his progeny and so much emphasize and even calls relate our faith and belief into how much we believe in them and even in how much we love them. There is hadith that Prophet says, if you do not love my children more than your own children and your own parents, you do not have faith. So none of these things are because, as I said, as our ordinary people, we want to give recognition to our families. All of this is because of ourselves. It is us who need to do this. It is us who need to learn who they were. It is us who need to learn the status of A'imma alayhim as-salam in the whole universe. Vis-a-vis God, where do they stand? These are things that we needed. It is not that they needed. They are needless of any of these things. It is us who need this. That is why in many of these du'as and ziyarahs, when we read about how rewarding is if you someone read this or someone read that ziyarah and all the rewards which is mentioned for them, but most of them comes with a condition. The condition is to know the status of that imam. And how to know the status of that imam, we have to go and learn about these things. So this was what occurred in my mind when I was reading it, that why if you look at Mafati from the first page to the last page, there are many ziyarahs and du'as which they are full of fazail of A'imma, and there must be a message. I have not done any statistic, but I don't think there is, if you put those things together, versus how much of Allah Himself is spoken of, there will be more talk of A'imma alayhi salam. Not that they are more important than Allah, that they are, it is so much that we need to know about A'imma and their level of being. Okay, I divert from here to another issue, that is that we know and we read that there have been people, and still there are a lot of people, that they are so much loving to see Imam Zaman alayhi salam. And we have read the stories of people who have met Imam Zaman. And indeed, it is very much possible. But what I want to say today about this, although it is very much recommended, I mean, so what better than this one can expect from his life? I remember a few years ago, I was in a funeral of one of my friend's mother. And then I saw a young fellow, a young man was sitting in front of me having lunch in that funeral. He looked like 18, 19 years old. And then from his face, I realized he must be the son of one of my friends who had passed away. And I had not seen their family for 16, 17 years. And he was martyred, the father. Then I started to talk to him. And then he spoke a lot about Imam Zaman alayhi salam. And then I told him, tell me, I have forgotten even his name. Tell me, if you see Imam Zaman, why do you want to see Imam Zaman? What for do you want to see Imam Zaman? If you see Imam Zaman, what do you tell him? And he told me an answer I've never forget it. He said, nothing. I only want to be breathing in the same place that he's breathing. That's all I want. It was quite learning for me what he said. And it touched me. But apart from that, if Imam Zaman alayhi salam is here today, what are we going to ask Imam Zaman? Why is it so much that people do all these chelle? We say in Farsi, we say chelle neshini. Chelle neshini means to do things for 14 days or 14 nights or 14 weeks. For instance, there is a lot of people do this. It is said if anyone who goes 40 Tuesday night to Jamkaran, which is close to Qom, which is a mosque, which is related to Imam Zaman alayhi salam, goes there and do certain ibadat, he will see Imam Zaman. And there are things like that even in Najaf, in the holy places, that if there are certain amal, that if we keep doing them for 40 weeks, then we can see Imam Zaman. What I want, while I know there is not any better joy than seeing Imam Zaman alayhi salam, What I want to raise this question in us: if we see Imam Zaman, what are we going to ask from Imam Zaman? I bet most of, not us, but most of the people, demand from Imam Zaman is to resolve the problems they have in life. People who do not have a home, people who do not have, their children have problems, they are sick, people who themselves they have some illness, serious illnesses, people who have been, their rights have been taken over by other people, have been zoned down to them. There are many types of problems in one's life. And as I said, I bet 90% of the people, me among them, probably more than that, 95% of the people, we will be only asking these things from Imam Zaman. And probably we don't know much, even what to ask. And if Imam Zaman is there and he does all of these things for us, he cures our children, he gives the house we want, he takes the right which has been taken away from us by other people, he takes our revenge from our neighbor or our enemy or whoever. But okay, what after this? These things will finish one day. What are we going to ask Imam after that? That's my friend's son who told me, I would like to breathe under the same ceiling with Imam Zaman. That's a very good thing and very nice thing that we all have to develop so much love for Imam Zaman alayhi salam. But in the meantime, what are we going to ask Imam? Okay, we want to see, the point here is we want to see the wajh of Imam. Wajh of Imam is face. It is said the face of Imam is called the wajh of Imam. And as I, in one of our sessions, I don't remember in which one of them, I said, what does wajh mean? And I said about the first story of the person who came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and asked about wajhullah. Ask Imam Ali, what is wajhullah? And Imam Ali alayhi salam asked people to make a fire. They made a major fire there. When I say major, I mean something that the heat could be felt. And then after the fire was made, and asked that person, from anywhere you want, go to the fire. Approach the fire from anywhere, from any side of it, from any angle. And that person, of course, could not get closer than a certain distance to that fire. From anywhere he goes, it wouldn't make any difference. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, this is wajhullah, means this. Means the angle, the side that asar of Allah is being felt. Asar Allah of Allah is being
manifested
from the where it comes to people. That is called wajhullah. And of course, also probably a reason that our face is also referred to as wajh is because our asar mostly comes from our face. When I say our face, that means what is in our head as a whole. If we see somebody from the back in the street, we see him, we usually do not tell him, I saw you, in a way that we encounter eye to eye. We only encounter people when we are face to face. We only say to people, I saw you, so that kind of comes. Seeing in a way of communicating, it is when we are face to face. It is not from the back of the head. That is because most of our instruments of asar, the tools that we make our impressions from us, comes from our face. If you look at the tongue is here, the eyes are in our face, the ears are there, and more importantly, even that our brain and mind, brain is here in our head. So, one of the aspects of seeing wajh of somebody, apart from the face, is also to see asar of somebody, the effect of that person. For instance, when I read, I do read a lot of, for instance, books and asar of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. I do feel so much I'm with him. I don't feel that I'm not with him. It is really more important than we be with people's mind. If you are with people's mind, we feel we are with them. You try that. You try that and see. For instance, if you read or listen to or somehow get to know and get exposed to the thoughts and minds of a person, be it Imam, be it an ordinary person, or be it a scholar. You feel that you are with that person. Of course, we should probably have a little bit moved higher than this, so much relying on our senses. If we move a little bit higher than this, of taking things into seriousness of seeing only by senses, then we do feel that, yes, I have been with that person. I have few people that I do read their work a lot, like, as I said, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, or Mrs. Lotfi, which is one of my great teachers, and some other people like them. I feel I am all every day with them. Every day. I was telling my sister the other day on the phone, because she goes to her lessons in Tehran, and listens to Mrs. Lotfi. I told her, I am more than you probably with Mrs. Lotfi than you are. You think you go there and sit a couple of hours there while I listen, and I read her books probably 4 or 5 hours a day. So, what I want to get from this discussion, from this argument, is to see wajh of somebody is not only to see his face. To see his asar is more important. To see what he thinks. To be with his mind is what is really, is in a higher level we are with that person than we see the person. There are many people that who are willing and they are killing themselves to see Imam Zaman. And I bet if they see Imam Zaman, they don't even know Imam Zaman. Which of us know Imam Zaman? Unless we are somehow being told that this is Imam Zaman, we don't know him. So even that, the fact that we will come to know that he is Imam Zaman, that this, because of the communication that Imam Zaman has done with us, internally has made us to know that it is him. So we have to get over this notion of thinking that Imams are not present. Imams are very much present. Their works are present. We take the books of Ahadith, there are so, I mean, just Baharul Anwar itself is about 120 volume of Ahadith of Imam alayhi wasalam. All these Imams, during the whole life, that they have not been able to do any apparent political movement or leading in public the people. They have done this through their du'as, they have done this through their ahadith, they have done this through their advices to people. So they are present, they are not qayyib. Wallah, there is nothing more important than getting close to Imam's mind. And their words are present. Although there are 11 of them are died, 13 of Masumin are dead, one of them is Allah, which is so to speak, qayyib, which I say we are qayyib from him. He is not qayyib from anyone. All of their works is present, is there. We can get to see them. We can see their real wajh. Their real wajh is their knowledge. In a higher level, this material level, the real wajh of Imam and anybody else is his knowledge. So, I also read a story of a person has. This also has a relevance with what I said, but it's not in the same context of getting to learn the knowledge of Imam. It is to say there are other ways to see Imam. One way, as I said, is to see Imam's mind, to be with Imam's ma'arif, to be with Imam's knowledge, that is to be with Imam. And that way, we do not probably feel that very much unless we have moved in this life a little away from our senses, or after we die. After we die, we come to know this physical body is no more there. And even when we go to Qiyamah, in Qiyamah there is no even image like this. So the only closeness in Qiyamah is closeness of mind. In Qiyamah, we are nothing other than minds. We do not have any of these physical appearances that we have here when it comes to Qiyamah. Qiyamah is Alam-e-Aql, is the universe of intellect. And universe of intellect is only what we know. People, it is said, the reality of people is what they know. And plus their hates and loves. So we have developed love for Imams, for Aimah. It is with us. Those feelings are the real existence. Those knowledge in us is the real existence of us. Because all of this will go away. All of this face and shoulder and height and width and all of this are no more there in Qiyamah, not in Barzakh. So, getting to see them, we have to get close to them intellectually. We have to learn to see them at the level of their mind. When we see them at the level of their mind, that is the real seeing. Even though so many ahadith that we have heard, we have read about Liqa'ullah. This is a very famous phrase. Everyone has heard about Liqa'ullah. And There are ulama, some ulama which they have denied it. They have said, no, there is not such thing called Liqa'ullah. And they have said it must be, we have to do ta'wil. So that means we have to interpret them in a way so that it doesn't lead to this meaning that we can see Allah. No, Allah can be seen, but of course not with these eyes. With our mind. So seeing or liqa is not only eye to eye or eye to something. The mind to mind is the highest level of liqa. This topic is very vast topic and it's called Ittihad al-Aql bi-Ma'qul, or the unity of intellect, the one who does intellectualize and the one who is intellectualized. Unity of this is called Ittihad al-Aql bil-Ma'qul. So this is a vast topic. I don't want to go into this issue. But I read this a story. This is from the book that sometimes I have read from this book for you, Kimiyai Mahabbat. This is about a person, contemporary, very pious, a spiritual person who died about 20 to 30 years ago in Iran. His name was Rajab Ali Khayyat, very well known. In his story says, one day a person, one of ulama, one of good people, wanted to see Imam Zaman alayhi salam. And he took one of those procedures which I said about 40 weeks of doing something. I don't want to stop and to start to read this, but as a whole, it was one of those procedures, 40 weeks of certain amal to be done so that he can see Imam. So he got to the end of the 40 weeks. He did not see Imam. But because of those amal he had done, he had become thin in his soul. That means raqiq, we say in Arabic and Farsi, probably in Arabic too. He had become raqiq. He had got closer to Allah because of the amal he had done. So he was told, he was shown, probably in a dream or somehow, that you have to travel to such city to see Imam Zaman. Though those days traveling was not as easy, he takes the trouble and travel to go to that city that he was supposed to see Imam Zaman. And when he goes there, he goes and enters to a bazaar that he was told to go. And in that bazaar, he was being informed from within that in front of somebody's shop, who was a locksmith, who had to be there, that he saw Imam Zaman is in that shop, sitting in that shop. While he goes, get close and say salam to Imam Zaman, wants to greet with Imam Zaman, he was asked to wait there and only watch. So, he was standing there and watching what is happening. He saw a very old lady came to the shop, and the shopkeeper was also in the shop. And that old lady said, I have this lock. She had a small lock. Said, I want to sell this lock, say, to $1. Because she needed money. That man said, but this has no problem. It only, I can fix it probably with 50 cents, and then you can sell it with $8. She said, no, I don't bother. I need the money. So they started to discuss and kind of argue. The lady wanted the money. She wanted to sell it for a dollar and get the $1 that she needed. And the man was saying, but I cannot do this to you. It's only 50 cent expense. And then you can gain $8 for it. Because the lady was not convinced, the man said, okay, I buy $7 from you. So he gave $7 to the lady and he fixed it to sell it for $8. When this happening was finished, Imam Zaman alayhi salam told to that scholar who had come all the way to see him, said, you don't need to do so much challe and arba'in to see me. Just be fair to people, you get to see me. So there are a lot of easy things to do, a lot of easy ways to do, to see Imam. And those easy ways, this fairness is one example, but this is an example that is quite rare, I tell you. It's very rare these days. If you see, for instance, in today's market, everyone who wants to buy property, say, it's a good time now. People do not have money and they want to sell it cheap. This is the same thing in Iran, I know. In Iran, my son, Amir, wants to sell something and he talks to me couple of times a week. He says, yeah, people are not there. He says something which is worth $100,000, they come and say, oh, I have $60,000. Why? Why do they do this? Because market is a little bit inactive now, and people who need money, they sell their property. So they want to sell it cheaper. So this is, as I said, although this looks at the beginning quite simple, to be fair, but it is not as simple as we think. We have to be prepared to pay the price for it. Not price of buying something. Price of being fair. Fairness has got a price. It's something that will cost us. So, I seek the help of Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam to help us to see Imam in a level that is more understanding and more meaningful than these visual levels. Of course, even I know it's a challenge for myself, even in this level of material level, to be able to see Imam, to want to create that want in me to want to see Imam even this level, in this level. First, number one is I have to create that zeal and want and interest in me that I want to see Imam visually. Once I have created that, then I have to go and read about what is that Imam want us to do, what does he want us to learn, what does he want us to say. I tell you, maybe inshallah next Friday is my last Friday before I go to Hajj, inshallah I will, if I remember, I will discuss about this side of it, that what is that Imam wants us to do. And when he says, especially when it refers to issue of idalat, the notion that we all have from the idalat when Imam comes is the notion of, yes, he will come and with his sword he will kill all the enemies and bring justice. It's not like that. It's not the only version of it. Idalat that Imam brings is something quite in the different level. It is a different thing. Inshallah, Imam will help us to create that interest and then want in us to be. From the day we get up, we feel that Imam is present, and inshallah, Imam give us the tawfiq and opportunity to feel the disaster of not seeing Imam in any level. The problem and the disaster is we do not feel that disaster. We get on with our lives so happily and freely, and we do not feel that Imam is not with us or we cannot see him. Bar Muhammad, all Muhammad, salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.